Amazon's owner buys the Washington Post. The Red Sox owner buys the Boston Globe. It seems as though the traditional lines of ownership are just as fluid as some of the means of reception.
Applause to the Post, because the Graham family came right out and admitted, we can't keep doing this the way it deserves to be done. And Jeff Bezos's grandchildren won't be able to spend all that money. And he seems hell-bent on keeping the bar set as high as the Grahams did. The Boston Globe arguably went for a song, but it doesn't seem like a fire sale when they sell it to the Red Sox. How about Warren Buffett? He's been buying up small-town newspapers for the last couple years. And he points to high school sports, city council meeting notes, local news that you just can't get anywhere else. What is a newspaper now? Sure, there'll always be killing trees, I suppose, to make a hard copy, as long as somebody wants to buy it. But if you want to see it on iPad, if you want to see it on the phone, maybe they have an email product, however you choose to consume that, we hope the newspapers will always be there, and thank God these new owners are riding to the rescue.
The newspapers saw this new thing called the Internet a few years back and said, everybody else is going out there, why don't we put some of our content on the Internet? For free.
Yeah, and we got used to it, didn't we?
Huh? Yeah, we got used to it. And suddenly the newspapers noticed, the percentage of people who are getting our newspaper online is up 20%, and the circulation is down.
Two conspicuous newspaper examples were the Wall Street Journal, which always charged for online. And because they always charged for online from the get-go, they were allowed to count online subscribers in their circulation figures. So that was pretty smart. The New York Times actually did have to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and every newspaper in America is watching them like a hawk because they're tweaking this paywall model. You get X number of stories per month for free before you have to sign up to get more, and they're adjusting how many are free. There's a riveting video that you can find on YouTube, and if you can't, I put it on my website at hollandcook.com. It's Kevin Spacey accepting an award in the UK recently, and he talks about a House of Cards on Netflix, and he says the device is irrelevant. It's all about storytelling. And this is a quote. Kevin Spacey says, "We learned the lesson the music industry didn't learn. Give people what they want, when they want it, in the form they want it, and at a reasonable price, and they'll more likely pay for it than steal it." Who says to get the one song you need, you have to go buy a 12-inch vinyl platter with 11 songs you don't want? That's how it was when we were kids. But now you can go on iTunes and buy the song you want, and only the song you want, for 99 cents. So it's a more efficient marketplace. We're getting better at figuring out this paywall thing and figuring out how much you have to give them as the free sample to get them to buy more.
Media consultant Holland Cook, with a 40-plus-year broadcasting resume. He advises stations like the one that you're listening to, and he coaches people like me. He publishes a monthly newsletter for broadcasters and podcasters, which is the gold standard for that. You may have heard Holland guest host this program. In January, he'll be reporting again for us from the massive, mind-boggling Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He's also a frequent guest on MSNBC's The Edge Show, and Holland is the blogging-specific advice for making the dozens of conversations that you'll have each day more effective at survivalspeech.com.